I was recently asked by a really good friend of mine, Alex, why do you feel like you've been able to make such hard pivots in your life and business and not been afraid to do so? And so my friend John Farling, who is now the host of the Do More podcast, invited me to be a guest on his show. And so on this particular podcast episode, we're going to flip the script. I think I shared things on his podcast that I don't know or recall that I've ever shared before, such as the answer to that question and several others that he asked me. And so what I thought I'd do is I realize there's new people that have started subscribing to the show. There's also people that have been listening for a while. And again, I don't know that I've covered some of the content and answered some of the questions he asked me on my show or on maybe some other shows I've been on. So I thought that I would just, with his permission, share this podcast episode with you because I think it can give you some insight, some maybe perspective that you're needing, or maybe give you a different lens in which to evaluate your life and your business from. Maybe you're faced with a particular challenge, or you're trying to solve for a particular problem, or you're looking to make course correct and go in a different direction. Well, I've been faced with that on numerous occasions, both in business and also in my life. I want to share this podcast episode with you because I think it may land with you, and I think it could really connect with some of you who are in a particular season in your life, or really, no matter what season you're in, I think these are things that we need to be aware of, we need to consider. And so with that being said, my good friend John Farling has given me permission to share this podcast episode with you. I think he did a great job of interviewing and hosting, especially since he just launched this podcast. And in an effort to also get behind him, because he's a friend and just a sharp dude and is doing a lot of good out there, I wanted to publish that episode on the Flip Empire Show because I think some of you may enjoy it. So I encourage you to listen from start to finish. I'd love to hear from you at the end of the show. So reach out to me on social media or any other way. I'd love to get your feedback. And if there's anything that I can do to help you and support you in your journey, anything I can do to pour into you and grow, let me know. I've just spent the last several weeks traveling, kind of a crazy October where we kicked off, if you've heard the last two episodes, we kicked off the month of October with our Ascend Mastermind Retreat, which was amazing. Then I was at a storage event in Atlanta, and I just got back from San Antonio, where I was part of another mastermind that I'm a part of. So I continue to seek opportunities to learn, to grow, to get challenged, to have others hold me accountable, to push me. So I not only talk it, I walk it. And it's because of all the things it's done for me in my life and in my businesses. I want to share that with you, and I want to share it with you passionately and with conviction because I believe in it that much. So if this podcast resonates with you or any other podcast I've done, make sure to reach out to me, ascendyoursuccess.com. And without further ado, let's hop right into episode 716, where my good buddy John Farling interviews me on his podcast.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
I'm here with my guy, Alex Pardo. I met Alex Pardo, I believe, what was that, 3 years ago? Been in his mastermind, have become great friends, and he's a self-storage investor, among other things. Hopefully we can dive into all those things that he does because he's a man of many things. But one, appreciate you coming on. And two, if you can, Alex, give us minute, 2 minute, and maybe 5 minute with you, I don't know, bio, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, dude. First off, man, you're 100% right, dude. You've become a really good friend over the last several years. And by the way, dude, word on the street is that I am now on one of the top two or three podcasts on the planet. So the Do More podcast, along with the Flip Empire Show. So I'm excited to welcome you into the podcast world, dude. But no, man, in all seriousness, man, you've been a great friend over the last several years. You've helped me a lot in my storage journey. And it's been cool to pour into you as well. And that's really what it's about, right? But yeah, just to give people a brief little background, and dude, feel free to interrupt me wherever you need to. But born and raised in Miami, my parents are from Cuba. I didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs. In fact, I'm the first one in my family. I didn't draw it up that way. I've told the story in the past. I remember being 10, 11, 12 years old, growing up at the baseball park, and kind of my first introduction to some level of investing and or entrepreneurship is buying and selling baseball cards, right? I used to buy packs for 50 cents, maybe a dollar, and I used to flip them for $2. And I really like that. I like the idea of buying low and selling higher. And then fast forward, I went to FIU and I ended up graduating and thought I wanted to climb the corporate ladder and be a CFO of a big company one day. If I'm being honest, I think my ego was kind of driving that decision, not because I really wanted to be a CFO. I just thought it was cool and prestigious. And I ended up taking a job with General Electric in their financial management program. And I'll never forget, man, like my come to Jesus moment, so to speak, was like 3 months into this thing. I had been averaging about 70, 75 hours a week. I never forget my eyes being cross-eyed from just looking at Excel all day. And I'm like, dude, I don't want this. I'm not great at a lot of things, but I'm good at a few. And one of those is kind of getting clear on what I want and then reverse engineering my way to try to get there. I recall looking at my boss and her boss all the way up to like the CFO where I once aspired to be. And I'm like, I wouldn't want this life, not only for myself, but like for my worst enemy. And so I had made a commitment. It was a 2-year program. I finished that program, got to do a lot of traveling. And then I ended up moving back from New York City to Miami and essentially being unemployed and moving into my parents' house at 25 years old. I don't even know if you know this.
No.
And dude, a single guy unemployed back at his parents' house at 25 is just not a good look, right? That's not how I drew it up. And so that was very motivating for me. And I knew I wanted to start a business. I knew it was going to be real estate. I just didn't know what that looked like. So
let me pause you really quick. So how did you know you want to get in the real estate? Because it sounds like you weren't around, at least your family, you didn't have entrepreneurs in your family. So how did you find real estate? How did you know that you wanted to get in the real estate?
Yeah, man. Good question. When I was working at GE, I had so much pain from not wanting to be there that I started looking at other opportunities. I remember looking at applying to be a firefighter in Miami, but I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I don't want to work for somebody. Like, let me just figure out what business I'm going to start. And so I started researching and I came across Carlton Sheets No Money Down program and I bought it. I spent, I don't know, $297 or whatever it was. I remember ripping through that in a weekend and then starting to research online how I can buy foreclosures and hopefully like assume the loan. That's what I thought investing in real estate was, like assuming loans. So yeah, man, that led to just my personal development journey. And so, yeah, I just started like reading more books. I remember when I went backpacking around Europe, I bought Think and Grow Rich. That like blew my mind. That led to Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so as a result of those programs and those books, that's what kind of propelled me to say, hey, I want to set my sights on real estate.
It's still interesting to me. I think we all kind of look back at our journey. How did we get from point A to point B? And it sounds like there's something in you that's like, okay, you need to be an entrepreneur, right? Doesn't sound like you had many people around you, which is interesting to me that you're just like, I don't want to work. Looking back, how did you know there was another opportunity out there not working for somebody? Because obviously you had success, right? And you got to work for GE out of college. Like I was working at Staples. So you had a huge opportunity there. There had been something there that was like, yeah, you know what? You can do more and it's not in the 9-to-5 world.
I think about Tony Robbins. He talks about humans are motivated either by the avoidance of pain or driving towards pleasure. I'm one that I'm wired in a way and I have this awareness about myself that I will do more to avoid pain than to seek pleasure. Mm. And like I said, the thought of having to quote unquote clock in and clock out. I remember my first year in GE, I wanted to come back home to visit my family because I think it was my mom's birthday or something. And my boss wouldn't give me the time off. And I'm like, this isn't freedom, right? Like, I don't like the thought of somebody having their thumb on when I can go, when I can go. And I'm like, this isn't for me. So I wasn't worried about the how, like, how am I going to invest in real estate? How am I going to start a business? Because like I said, I didn't have that experience, but the pain of working for somebody else was greater than the pain of trying to figure that out. And I think there's a lesson there for people listening that too many of us are trying to figure out the how. How do I get into storage? How do I do this? How do I do that? Don't worry about that for now. Just get clear on what you want and then figure out what micro actions you can take that are going to ultimately lead to the macro result that you want. And then you just course correct along the way. Like nobody has a direct straight line A to B to success. That's not life. I don't know if you've ever seen that Instagram image of like what people on Instagram depict as success and then like the reality. And it's like all these like zigs and zags and ups and downs. So I don't know if I answered your question, man, but like I wasn't too worried about how am I going to do it. I just knew I had to do it.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So yeah, that's chapter one in the book of Alex Pardo. So you buy the Carlton Sheets program. What happens from there?
Yeah, man. A buddy of mine that was also working at GE, Ray, he's a good friend of mine, and he had gotten into real estate a little bit prior. And so I kind of learned a little bit from him, and I saw some of the success he was having. And that's another thing that I think I learned early on is that success leaves clues. And I'm not smart enough to have come up with that quote. Like I probably read that somewhere. don't try to figure out everything on your own. Like, lean on others who have walked that path and who are maybe a few steps ahead of you, and you can learn from them. And I think there's an art to intentionally putting yourself in the right environments. That's why you and I are such big advocates of masterminds and coaching and things of that nature. And we've invested a lot in ourselves. But yeah, man, I moved back to Miami. I went traveling around Europe. I remember I was sitting in an internet cafe in Ibiza, and I walked in, I checked my email. I think I was paying like, I don't know, €5 every minute. It was expensive back then. And a buddy of mine had, the same buddy, Ray, had invited me to a boot camp called Marketing for Deals, a guy by the name of Dave Lindahl, which at the time, I think he's still in apartments, but he's a big apartment house guru. And it was $997. Now, keep in mind, John, I had financed my 3.5 month backpacking trip on my credit card. So I was unemployed. I didn't have an income. I was $7,000 in the hole. And I had, I think, a $10,000 limit on the card. So I was like coming up on that. But again, my trip was going to be over in like 3 weeks. I was going to go back to my parents' house without a plan. And so I'm like, it's now or never. So I paid the $997. I went to this boot camp. I plucked out a pre-foreclosure letter from the 3-ring binder. I went to Kinko's and I started making photocopies of this letter. And it was so ghetto because you would see from the photocopy the black 3 holes. And that was my first direct mail campaign to pre-foreclosures. Fast forward about 2.5 months later, I ended up closing my first deal and I made $44,000, which I ended up splitting. So almost what I was making in my corporate job.
That's awesome. Dude, that's like, you don't hear that very often, right? Usually it's one, you spent money investing in yourself, right? I know you're fast forwarding a lot here, but it sounds like you weren't that skeptical, right? You bought the Carlton Sheets thing, which $300, which at the time for you was probably a lot of money, right? Then you spent $1,000 for this marketing program that I know when I started in single family rentals, I had no idea what wholesaling was. I learned what wholesaling was like a handful of years ago. I had no idea. So for you to take those steps and invest in yourself, when I'm guessing a lot of people around you probably weren't doing that, that's rare. That's unheard of.
Yeah, I wasn't in that world yet. I only knew of my buddy Ray at the time who had invested in himself. And so like the thought of spending, John, $997, like at that time, it could have been $100,000. Like I'm like, wait, people spend this much money to go like learn about how to market for deals? Like I couldn't wrap my head around it, but I didn't have a plan B. And I'm like, I got to do this. I know I want to do real estate. So let's make it happen. Like my mindset is very much ready, fire, aim. And like, I think of that analogy of like getting to the shore and burning the ships. And now I can't go back out to sea, right? Like I got to figure it out on land. Yep. So that was kind of my mindset.
Ray was definitely a turning point for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. And he's still a good friend to this day. And I think we all have those people in our lives if we look close and hard enough. Like my belief is God puts certain people in your life to steer you in a certain direction. Now it's our job to discern, like, is this the right person I need to be like modeling or learning from or following, or is it not? Because either way, they're going to have an influence on your life. You get to decide if it's positive or negative.
Yep. That's why you're here.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
No, I meant because you're here with me.
Well, that's what I meant. I appreciate it.
All right. So you got your first deal. I know where you kind of go from here, but sounds like you probably dive pretty hard into wholesaling then, right?
Yeah, dude, exactly right. Like that first deal led to a second, led to a third. And I remember, I think my first year, and I'm hesitant to share this because I don't want people to think that like everybody's got a different path and a journey. So the fact that I made, this was 2005.
Okay.
So I did my first deal January 2006. I attended that boot camp October 2005. So yeah, man, I think in 2006, I probably did 10, 11, 12 deals, if I remember correctly. So again, ready, fire, aim. I just leaned on a lot of direct mail. I leaned on a lot of door knocking and pre-foreclosures. I made every mistake under the sun, fumbling deals left and right, just kind of figuring it out. I would attend a local RIAs back then. At the time, I viewed investing in a coach or a mentor as an expense. Yep. And I'll kind of fast forward to 2007. I had done at that point 15, 20 wholesale deals in my first year and a half. And I thought it was a good idea to get involved in my first fix and flip on a $500,000 house. Mm. I'll spare you the gory details, but we ended up between myself and a partner, I think we lost $101,000, $102,000. So I lost roughly $50,000 of my money. And I'm just grateful and fortunate, dude, that A, that didn't sink me at the time. But B, somebody asked me at an Ascend retreat, I think a year and a half, 2 years ago, like, what's the best deal you've ever done? And man, I've been fortunate to close a lot of deals throughout the years. And my instinct gut reaction answer was losing $50-something thousand on my first fix and flip. And everybody was kind of like looking at me like I was drinking or something. And I'm like, because that was the turning point. I said to myself, had I had a coach or a mentor in my corner, I would have never gotten involved in that deal.
Yeah.
As a result, I immediately seeking somebody to guide me and mentor me and coach me. I made a pretty large investment. I think it was $5,000 at the time. And I hired a coach. And yeah, man, ever since then, I've been coached and been a part of a mastermind.
Yeah. Well, a couple of good points there. I think people are so afraid to lose. We're so focused on winning, right? In society, culture. And don't get me wrong. We all want to win, right? We're all competitive some sort of way. We want to win. But I think there's another part of that too, is we're afraid to lose. But really, you just said your greatest win was business-wise, your biggest failure, especially at that time, right?
Yeah.
There's so much that you learn from it, and you wouldn't be where you are today without that huge loss.
That's right. I think there's blessings within the failures. And if you're going to go through that pain, if you're going to go through the war, so to speak, draw something from it, right? Like the worst thing I could have done was like complain and moan and gripe about the fact that I lost a bunch of money. I could have pointed the finger at my partner. And I'm not sharing this to pat myself on the back, but it was, I knew that there was something I was meant to learn as a result of that experience. And looking back on it now, don't get me wrong, man, losing that money was really painful and it set me back. But looking back on it now, had I not done that, I probably would have gone years and years without investing in myself through a coach and mentor. And who knows where I'd be today had I not done that.
Well, when I say most people, probably 99% of people, because you had all these wins, right? All these single family deals that you're wholesaling, did a fix and flip, lost six figures. Most people would quit, right? Or go back to what they were doing and probably not learn all that much. You said, no, I'm going to spend more money and get a coach. Who does that? Not many people do that. Yeah, kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you, man. Thank you. But yeah, man, from there, I mean, I ended up continuing to do deals. I started kind of coaching and working with people myself several years later. Once I had some success and some wins under my belt, people started kind of approaching me about it. And so I ended up
in the wholesaling space.
Yeah, that was in the wholesaling space. Correct. Yeah. But man, we grow and evolve, right? And so for me, I was a one-man show. I ended up reading The 4-Hour Workweek. I was blown away by this concept of hiring virtual assistants. And then there's a lot that's gone on in between, but that led me to now, how do I start to scale this business? How do I buy back my time? And so I started building a team in 2012. I had built a team up to 9-10 people, fast forwarding all the way through 2020, where I ultimately decided, hey, it's time to shut down the wholesaling business. It's a great business. It had provided very well for myself and my family, met a lot of great people. But that business was just no longer aligned with my long-term goals, my vision, or the direction I wanted to go in. So I had been thinking about this. I had been feeling some sort of uneasy within me about the business, right? Like there's a lot of ups and downs. And I always felt like I was chasing the next deal. And I didn't like that business model. I didn't like the thought of having to generate $40,000 a month, roughly, just to break even, pay my team, keep the lights on in the office. And I would have to do more than two deals to start making a profit. I didn't like that model. Mm. And I didn't like the fact that there wasn't any cash flow. I didn't get any of the benefits of depreciation and all these types of things, which was ironically the reason I got into real estate, right? When I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all these books, it wasn't go wholesale houses. It was don't wait to buy real estate and wait, mm-hmm. right? It's that classic saying. So I ended up taking some time off, man, reflecting, and ultimately, after a lot of research and just conversation with the right people, I felt led to really focus my energy and attention on the storage asset class, and that was late 2020.
Man, you take some hard pivots. I'm not gonna lie. Obviously, you were successful. I mean, we've talked about what you did beginning of your career, but you were successful in wholesaling. From what I know, you had a pretty big wholesaling business, obviously doing well with it, and shut it down. You took a hard pivot and was like, I'm going this direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, talked a little bit what went through that, but why do you think you're able to take these hard pivots and not be afraid of what's on the other side?
Man, really, really good question.
I've been working on that one. That was a good.
No, so stop. I'm sure we can find one or two more. No, dude, in all seriousness, a couple things immediately come to mind, right? You know me, my faith is important to me, right? And so I've always known God was going to look after me and I was going to be okay. And he was going to provide and I was going to be taken care of. But as far as like the practical side of things, like I've just always been one to bet on myself. And I think a lot of that confidence comes from my faith. But I'm pretty good, like I mentioned earlier, at getting clarity. I'm good at, for myself and helping others, figure out what they want, why they want it, and is that sustainable? Like, what's the purpose behind it? And then figuring out a plan to get there. And I knew that, yeah, I could continue to have a nice living and continue to do wholesale deals. I asked myself one particular question that was the turning point for me. I said, if I wake up and I'm doing this business 12 months from today, 3 years from today, how would that make me feel? And my immediate gut reaction was, I wouldn't be happy. It wasn't so much about the money. It was about the fact that, like, as cliche as it sounds, dude, like, the next minute isn't promised to us. And like, why do something that's not going to bring me joy and fulfillment? I remember I started the Flip Empire show in 2016, and I was genuinely receiving more joy and fulfillment from people reaching out, letting me know how much impact a particular show had on them, or thank you because I did this, I implemented this, and this was the result. Like, that made me feel so good, and it felt better than closing the next $20,000 wholesale deal. And I'm like, how do I lean more into that, which leads to joy and fulfillment and allows me to contribute and provide value, than less of what I don't want to do? Those two things gave me the confidence to do a hard pivot.
I mean, it's so crazy. I remember talking to your story, another real estate influencer, big influencer in the space. I remember talking to him and he said, you know, I'm really not afraid to do big deals. I'm not afraid to do deals. I'm not afraid to pivot. He's like, what's the worst that can happen? And he's got wife and a few kids. He's like, I'll just go live with my parents or live with her parents. It's like, I don't care. He's like, I know that I have the skills that I'll make it back. Because obviously you've got a wife and two kids. And when you quit your wholesaling business, not quit it, but shut it down, there had been some pressure there, right?
There was, man. I was fortunate that a couple of years prior, I was involved in another business, that being our mastermind. And I had a few other investments that were able to provide for me. So I was able to kind of build a bridge that allowed me to just kind of take a little bit of time off. And I realized, man, that some people listening want to do a hard pivot and they don't have that bridge. I'm aware of that. And so I think you got to be very mindful of intentional of when you take your pivot, right? Like, I'm not the guy to give you the advice of like, hey, you got a wife and kids or whatever the case might be, go quit your 9-to-5 and just get into real estate. For some people, the sink or swim, back against the wall, like, I have to come out swinging type of mentality works. For others, not so much. So I think you have to have awareness about yourself, how you're wired. I think there's a lot of value in figuring out your strengths, your God-given talents, your abilities. That we're all born with unique gifts and talents. And I think it's your job to figure out what that is and then figure out how to multiply that. Too many people are stuck in a dead-end job or a business that doesn't fulfill them. And life's too short, dude. It doesn't have to be that difficult. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it doesn't have to be that difficult.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because I do think a lot of people that, one, that's probably listening to my show are probably looking to get out of their 9-to-5 or looking for another avenue. So that's a really good point. When you started building your extra streams of income, sounds like other investments, a coaching program, mastermind, why did you start those? Was it to diversify?
No.
Or was it because you saw the writing on the wall with your wholesaling business? You're like, eh, I don't want to do this forever.
Neither. It was because that was bringing me more joy and fulfillment. And I was trying to lean more into that and less into building something that wasn't bringing me that joy and fulfillment. And don't get me wrong, it's a business, right? And so it's intended to be for profit. And it should be that way because that a profitable business allows you to now impact more people. I'm not Mother Teresa coming on here saying that that money wasn't a factor. It just wasn't the main factor. That was the main thing, man. The podcast has been a huge blessing in so many ways, because I get to like check those boxes that are important to me. Contribution, I get to do something that I feel I'm pretty good at as far as communicating and just helping people. And that is what led me to know that, like, hey, man, I really like this feeling of selfishly. I like how I feel when I know I'm able to contribute and help somebody. So how can I do more of that? And I had been heavily influenced through masterminds and coaching throughout the years that for me, it just kind of made sense.
Yep. Yeah. You obviously found a strength. You're really good at helping people. You're really good with connecting with people. And this is a quick plug too. Flip Empire Podcast, Ascend Mastermind. Check him out. He's got a lot to give. So from there, you're obviously pivoting the storage. Take us through that chapter.
Yeah, man, you and two or three other people, that there's been four or five people that have been just instrumental in my storage journey. I remember having a conversation with you about Ascend prior to me even thinking about storage. And I remember you being in a 9-to-5 and then Fast forward a year, year and a half later, and you got 2, 3, 4 storage deals under your belt, and you had left your 9-to-5. You were a big inspiration for me. But yeah, dude, I went into storage with a lot of confidence, and I would say to a certain degree, unearned confidence. And I don't think I've ever said it quite that way, but I got into it like, dude, I got a lot of experience in real estate. Like, I know marketing, I know lead gen, like, I'm gonna crush it, right? And this is what I was saying to myself. I wasn't shouting this from the rooftops, right? But I think that confidence led to me just thinking it was gonna happen seamlessly and effortless. And I remember, I think I had a conversation with you and some others in March, and I'm like, I committed to a storage mastermind in December of 2020. And March of 2021, and I had no deals. And I'm like, I thought I would have had a deal within 30, 60 days. And then when I was honest with myself, I hadn't done the work. I had done a lot of education. I had done a lot of consuming of content. But outside of one direct mail campaign, I hadn't really done any work. And then that's when I got serious, like, okay, do I really want this or do I not? And the answer was, I really want it. So that's when I started picking up the phone. I started sending more direct mail. I started to like really lean into it. And action is typically rewarded, especially if you have a certain belief and confidence and you just do the work. And I remember my storage coach at the time presented me with an opportunity to buy my first facility in Jackson, Mississippi. This was April of 2021. There was a lot of learning lessons, about a month and a half, 2 months worth of negotiation, which I made a lot of mistakes and I could have avoided all that. But I ended up getting the facility under contract late June, the day I was hopping on a flight to travel around Greece with my family. And then I ended up closing that deal September 9th of 21. It was just under 43,000 square feet. So that was my first deal.
Yeah. And I think you zoomed past it, but you said it sounded like you were somewhat, I don't want to say overconfident, but confident going in the storage. It's new asset class. It's new all the way around. Obviously, you can find deals. While you're talking about that, you said you had belief and confidence.
Yeah.
Which I think is underrated at times. I look back too, like we all reflect back and think about, how did I get here? How did this happen? I think belief and confidence is a huge part. Even though we still have that little bit of doubt, you had that belief and confidence that, one, you're surrounding yourself with the right people. You're educating yourself. You know how to find deals. You know how to build systems, build a business. Like, you have all these skills. You knew it was going to happen at some point. And you knew your willpower and drive to make it happen.
That's right. And man, I think you touched on it. The fact that I had the right people around me gave me a lot of confidence. Now, I think the pendulum can swing the other way. In my case, it gave me so much confidence that I thought it was just going to happen and fall in my lap. And it didn't, right? Like, I had to do the work. And I think there's a lesson there, is that at the end of the day, like, don't think investing in yourself is some magic pill. Like, you got to do the work. Like, John, I'll never forget this, dude. I'll humble myself and share this, but I remember being at a Starbucks early on in my storage journey and getting on a phone with you and asking you how to measure something on Google, right? How do I measure the size of a facility? And like, kind of getting stuck figuring out something so stupid that doesn't really move the needle. I think back to that, to where I've come. And it's funny, you got to humble yourself and ask. And I wasn't too prideful to like say, hey, I don't know how to do this. Like, help me out.
That's a skill. I don't want to cut you off, but that is a huge skill that you are not afraid of. You are not afraid to ask questions. Sometimes it can be a lot of questions at once, but you're not afraid to, right? And that's how you're going to learn.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. So no, man, again, I'm grateful and fortunate that put people like you in my life that were willing to take my call and kind of help me out. And I always have that in mind as I try to pay it forward. Like, we're all on different journeys and different seasons of our life. So don't ever get too big for yourself where you're not willing to help someone, because you might find yourself in a place where you need help. And we're human. I don't have everything figured out. There's a lot more that I don't know than what I do know. I know that. But I also know that there's people out there that have figured something out. Yep. Right. And so it's just finding those people in your life.
Well, and this show's probably helped, this podcast has probably helped me with interviewing people and then thinking about questions and all this. But it's amazing how many people that success is relative, right? But have had some sort of success. They've all surrounded themselves with people that are doing the same thing they want to do.
Yeah.
I don't say it's that simple. Like you said, you've got to put in the work too, but that is probably the number one common thing that everyone has that's been somewhat successful in something. That's what we all have in common, right? Is we try to surround ourselves with people that are doing more than us and doing what we want to do.
There's a certain, Ed Milet talks about the thermometer in the room, right? And like, our temperature, our thermometer is always set to something. And so like, when you get around people that are high achievers or doing more. And by the way, ironically, the Do More podcast, right? Doing more doesn't necessarily mean having more deals, having more money, having a bigger business. It can. That's an aspect of it. But I want to surround myself with people that like, and that's the kind of life. That's the kind of person I want to be around. Like, I don't believe in balance, right? I think we go through seasons in life, but I don't just think about surrounding myself with the wealthiest people. Like, that's one part of it. But I want to surround myself with like family men, God-fearing men, like just people that I want to spend time with. And I get up-leveled in different areas of my life as a result.
Yep. 100%. We could dive into that for a whole nother show. So you've got one deal now in your journey. This is 2021.
Correct. 2021. It was an SBA loan. So that's a whole nother podcast. I'm talking to the SBA king here because you've done a bunch of those. But it's funny, man. My first deal in single family was a short sale. For some reason, when I get involved in an asset class, I tend to go for like challenging deals. But SBA, like, I'm so grateful for those experiences because there's a lot of learning in the doing. Right? The Do More podcast, the learning and the wisdom comes from the doing, not from necessarily just sitting back and consuming. So yeah, I closed that deal, man. And that deal has a lot of challenges. And so again, along that theme, I've learned a ton. I know now what to do, what not to do. I know what markets I want to be in, what markets I don't want to be in. But that led me to my second, well, I'll kind of pause there in case there's anything in particular you want to dive into as it relates to the first deal. Or if you want, I can just kind of zoom out and kind of share with you where I'm at on my journey today.
Yeah, bring us to the next one.
Yeah, man. So I ended up partnering with one of our Ascend members, become a really good friend of me and of you. We ended up JVing. He sent out a direct mail campaign and we had come to an agreement that I was going to field the calls, negotiate, lock up the deal, and we'd split the deal. And we ended up getting an awesome facility in Amelia Island, Florida. It's funny because when you think about the markets, Jackson, Mississippi and Amelia Island, they couldn't be further apart, right? Just as far as the market. So that was a 24,000 square foot facility that had some climate control. I ended up negotiating just amazing terms through seller financing. The seller ended up taking back a note for the majority of the purchase price. We had a smaller down payment and I was able to negotiate no payments for 1 year on that deal. A five-year term, 3.25% fixed interest rate, and then amortized over 35 years. So the facility is doing really well. It's cash flowing. It's in a prime market. And that's an asset that I see us holding long-term. Like, that type of asset's the reason I got into storage and I did a hard pivot from the wholesaling business.
Yeah, for sure. The seller financing terms are awesome. People always have questions about seller financing, and I get it. It's almost infinite, right? So it can be somewhat hard to understand getting into it, but you can play around with the terms. You can play around with the interest rate, the amortization rate, how long it is, the down payment. You did no payments for you. They're just, I think people get stuck because there's just so many options and it's like, what do I offer? Well,
yeah,
put it together where it makes sense for you and present it to the seller.
You brought up something that I think there's a lot of wisdom in it is I like to approach seller financing deals like, okay, like what is it I want to get out of this? But also you got to flip the script and say, hey, why are they selling? What's their need? How can you structure something? And like to your point with seller financing and with terms, you can rearrange the puzzle however you need it to work for both you and for the seller. And this particular seller, you know, just lived out of state, wasn't really operating and trying to grow and manage the business. I remember the reason I got the deal, aside from just building rapport and kind of striking up a relationship with the guy, is he had an offer. Somebody was trying to negotiate with him. He was asking 2.1. Somebody offered him 2 million. I gave him his exact ask. But because I gave him his ask, he was willing to work with me on the terms.
Yep.
And that was a great deal. Like sometimes, what's that saying, John? Like pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered.
Yep.
Right? Like sometimes we over negotiate. And we can negotiate our way out of deals. So that's probably a whole nother episode. But I'm glad that I wasn't trying to get greedy and squeeze the guy. I saw a deal. The numbers made sense. It was great terms, great market. And I gave the guy exactly what he was looking for.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, ton of points there. I agree. I'm a terrible negotiator. I say that, but...
You don't give yourself enough credit. That's not true.
Yeah. Well, no, we have similar outlooks on, right? We want it to be a win-win. Right. It works for me and it works for the seller and we both feel like we won, then I feel really good at the end of the day. I don't think I've fleeced anybody on any deals. I think every deal that I've gotten, people are like, I'm getting the deal of a century. I try to give the price, right? And I've done that with seller financing where a guy's like, this is my price. I'm like, okay, that's your price. I want to try to get my terms with seller financing.
That's
and
right.
It's worked out a few times because I do want to keep this another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So you've bought a few more deals. I know you've wholesaled.
My first deal wasn't the one in Jackson. My first deal was with you and Ian. And that's your story to tell, right? You brought me into a deal. You generated the lead and I looked at it and I thought I was maybe going to be the buyer for it. And then we talked about, hey, these other options we can do with this deal. And so technically my first deal was with you, my brother, you and Ian, which I'm super grateful for.
Yeah. Well, and here's the power of relationships that it comes up every show that I do. I think every time you talk, it probably comes out of your mouth too. It's how many deals have you done? Well, for one, we did do a wholesale deal together. I know nothing about wholesales. I brought you in and Ian, you and Ian in to help out with that. And it worked out for the three of us. Talk about how many deals have you done in storage? How many have you bought that weren't brought to you from a relationship that you found on your own?
None.
It's crazy.
So I just closed my fifth one yesterday, which was my second wholesale. It just closed yesterday. I own three now and I've wholesaled two. Every single one of those was driven by a relationship.
Isn't that crazy?
It doesn't surprise me, guys. And that's why it's all about relationships. It really is. And I know that everybody says that, but like, do you live it? Right? Like, that's the thing. Like, you know it, but are you living it? Are you investing in relationships? And are you doing it to get something or are you doing it because you want to help somebody and you want to contribute? And you know, eventually laws of reciprocation will tip back in your favor. I'm about pouring into the right relationships and growing those accounts. Like, that's what I'm about.
Yep, 100%. So I guess where to now? You've got a successful podcast. You've got a successful mastermind. You're obviously growing in self-storage. I know you've done some other ventures along the way that I probably dropped off too because they didn't work as well. But where to for you? Next 5-10 years, where do you see yourself going?
I want to lean more into the service side. I want to continue to work with people. I feel that that's my calling. And now how that looks, I think will probably evolve throughout the years. And I'm very open to that. One thing I want to share with people that may or may not be helpful, but it's been helpful for me is you kind of, what's that saying? Like, you make plans and God laughs. So I'm flexible. I know what I want. And then I'm trying to figure out the best route there, but I'm not dead stuck on a certain path. And so I know storage, and eventually I want to transition into the I quadrant, right? Like Robert Kiyosaki in his second book, The Rich Dad Quadrant, I think it's called. Yep. He has the E, the S, self-employed, the business owner, and the investor. Eventually, I want to transition to the investor, and I want to work with the right operators and just have my capital, have my relationship building skills. I want to lean into adding value to other people's deals with things that are my strengths that fill me up with energy versus being the operator. I'm glad I'm the operator now because I've learned a lot, but I know that long-term, that's not really where I want to be as it relates to like just getting involved in deals. So I have a certain cash flow goal that I want to hit with storage. I want to grow, ascend with the right people. I want to continue to pour into the podcast and do some other things, man. But yeah, like, you know me, man, and I share this, but like lifestyle is very important to me. And spending time with my family, traveling. So I'm not willing to work 12, 14, 18 hour days just to build the biggest empire, no pun intended, that I possibly can. Like, that's not important for me. Don't get me wrong. I want to continue to strive and grow and achieve more. And I want to do it honoring my vision, right? Yeah. And within the boundaries and frameworks that I set so that I can never miss my daughter's dance competition or take my daughter to pickleball lessons or just be there because that's what really matters.
Yep. 100%. That actually leads into one of the questions that I thought about this morning, thinking about what questions I may ask you, which this is an easy interview for me, right? Like, you just carrying along the interview. You have so much going on. And I know just from doing a few shows with the podcast, like creatively, you may have an idea pop up for a show or a question, just come from out of nowhere and you're eating with the family. Do you completely unplug when you're with your family? What does that look like?
Man, again, good question. I knew you had it in you. So this is a tough one to answer, man, because it's a tough one to answer from the perspective that I'm more aware now, more than ever, that sometimes I fail in this area of my life, right? But because I'm aware, I'm striving for growth in this area. I had an experience with Ariana was born in 2015. I think this was 2018. I'll quickly share this story. We were in our playroom, the girls' playroom in our first house that we bought when my wife and I got married. And we were just playing like catch and playing with toys. But I was there in body, but not really in mind. And I had my phone like next to my lap. I was sitting down on the floor in this play mat that she had. And I remember seeing a bunch of Podio messages. Podio was like our CRM at the time for the wholesaling business, just firing off all these different like things that were going on within the team and within deals. And I was so distracted, and that phone was like a magnet to me that I wasn't being present with my daughter. At once, I was embarrassed to share this, but I think hopefully the story resonates with people. I was so messed up as far as where my priorities were that I intentionally threw the ball across the house so my daughter could go chase it. So I had time to pick this stupid thing up to look at the messages. And even sharing that hits me a certain way because it was like a wake-up call for me. I'm like, man, what am I doing? Like, I got to realign certain priorities. And that was a wake-up call for me. So I remember at the time, and I had an office at that point, but like I would walk in the office, I would try to decompress at least 10 minutes. And my office was like literally down the corner from my house, but I would try to decompress before I walked in the door. I immediately like embraced my family, said hi to them. I went to my room and I'd put this thing away. And I wouldn't pick it back up until we put them down for bed.
Yeah.
And again, I've grown so much throughout the years, but there's times, if I'm being honest, where like I'm there, but like there's thoughts, there's things racing. Man, I'm not going to come on here and pretend like I got it all figured out, but I know that I'm making strides and I know that I'm a lot more present today than I was in the past. And at times I still struggle with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's honest, that's vulnerable. I think most people can relate, especially if you're an entrepreneur, right? Because our brains just don't stop. If they do, like there's no cutoff. We can't clock in and clock out and it's like, oh, I'm done. My job's done. My creativity's done. I'm not thinking about this deal that I'm underwriting for the past couple of days. You just can't shut it off.
What I've learned, man, is, and this is the value of like having an honest, open dialogue and the fact that we're close friends, is I'd push back from the perspective that I used to believe that. And then I started to figure out and learn tools that would help me unplug. Like as an example, transcendental meditation, which I do pretty much every day, twice a day, has really allowed me to slow down my thoughts, quiet those voices. And that's helped a lot, right? Like my morning routine, putting my oxygen mask on first in the morning before I put on others, like that has helped me a lot. Getting into the word, prayer, that's helped me a lot. It's not a fix-all per se. Like we're human. We're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to struggle at times. But it's really allowed me to slow down those thoughts. And then I know when to ramp them up, right? Like I try to create boundaries in my life where like, hey, when it's work, go. When it's work time and it's go time, let's do it. Let's get creative. Let's get done what we got to get done. But when I'm not doing that, let's be all in with the family, or let's be all in this area of my life. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Well, and we go through seasons too, right? Like there's going to be seasons, maybe it's months, maybe it's years, to where if you are trying to quit your 9-to-5, or maybe you haven't scaled your business far enough yet to where you can hire people out to take on those mundane tasks. Like I know even year and a half ago, I was the same thing. I was getting alerts through our communication system, and it's hard to put your phone away when you're getting those constant alerts. As long as you see the issue and you're taking strides to fix it, it's not going to happen overnight, right? I know for me, I've gotten, just over the past couple of years, I've gotten a ton better. And a lot of that is with scale, and you can hire things out and take things off your plate. Yeah. And now I don't have to be concerned about things when I'm around family. So,
yep. And you can also put guardrails, like as a simple example, putting your phone on airplane mode, you know, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes before you go to bed. Like there's things you can do to help and facilitate. You just got to be willing. Like, are you willing to do the work?
Yep. Right. 100%. So last question, and I could probably answer this knowing you. What do you think is your biggest trait that has made you successful professionally and personally?
I'm tempted to like throw the ball back in your lap to see what you would answer.
No, because you can't steal my answer. You've told me before, so I want to hear your answer today.
Man, I'm feeling some pressure now because I don't know what I told you, and what do I think has contributed to my success? Essentially is the question.
Yeah, professionally and personally, because I think they overlap.
I mean, I'll share with you just unfiltered thoughts, what hits me right away, because oftentimes that's the right answer. And I don't know if this is what I share with you or not, but this is what's hitting me. I think my relationship with God, first and foremost, right? Like my faith, I'd say number one. Number two, it's just coaches, mentors, the communities, masterminds I've immersed myself in. I think being very open, vulnerable, and transparent, right? Like not trying to like fake it till you make it. Like I don't subscribe to that line of thinking. Just be real, be who you are, humble yourself, call John Farley, dude, I don't know how to measure a stupid facility. Like a stupid, simple question like that. Like just be real, be humble, be authentic. And I think more people will be drawn to you if you're just yourself, right? And then along those lines, knowing that you don't know it all, but somebody does. Like all the answers to your questions are out there. So I think the mindset and the framework of not having to have all those answers right away in order to take a step forward in the direction of where you want to go is key to success. I don't know very many people that have the whole thing mapped out. And then it actually works to plan that way. Like the pilot is off course most of the time, but they know their destination. That's kind of how I look at life and business, right? Is I'm going to make mistakes. I know that I'm human, but what can I learn as a result? And then who can I surround myself with that continue to pour into me? And then taking it a step further, who can I pour into? Because I always think we got to have one hand up to a coach, a mentor, and we got to have one hand down helping others that are on the come up.
That was like 7 answers, but we'll take it because they're really good answers.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I figured if I hit you with all that, I have to overlap with something I shared with you.
And they're all true. And I don't think we all have just one trait that's gotten us successful in anything. But I remember you telling me, and it hit me too. I'm like, yeah, this is completely right. I remember you telling me that, I don't know why you're talking about yourself. It's just something you'd like to do. But you said you have a knack for connecting with people. And people feel like they've known you their whole lives within like 20 minutes of meeting you. I'm like, yeah. Like, I feel like the first time we actually met in person, I'm like, I've known this dude since kindergarten, is how it feels, right? So you do have that power that a lot of people just don't. And I don't know if I can name anybody else that I feel like I've known you my entire life when really it's been, what, 3 years? And really, we've only seen each other in person a handful of times. That's a crazy trait to have. And I think that's definitely helped you. Personally and professionally, for sure.
Well, I'll let that land on me, man. I appreciate you for sharing that.
Where's it landing at?
Right here, man. Right in the heart, dude.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up. Share everything you got going on, where people can find you, and whatever else you want to talk about yourself.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you so much, man. So AscendYourSuccess.com is our mastermind community for entrepreneurs, and pour my heart and soul into that thing. And so AscendYourSuccess.com. And then I'd love for people to check out the Flip Empire show. I've had you on the show, I want to say at least a couple times. Yep. If not, we got to make that happen and circle back. Yeah, the Flip Empire show. So if people go to flipempire.com/podcast, that's where you can find the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you consume. But really, again, I'm not on here to promote anything like I shared with you. I really just want to kind of come from the heart, open up and help however I can. So hopefully I said something that lands with, even if it's just one person, my mindset is, and it's totally worth the 52, 53 minutes we've spent on here. And then lastly, dude, I'm proud of you, man. I know you've stepped out into something that is new, and I'm excited to see you grow and seek to now impact others, man. So I'm proud of you, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And definitely appreciate you. Appreciate our friendship. Yeah, appreciate you coming on, sharing your whole life story, basically.
Thank you, man. Thank you
so much. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
See you next time.
One last thing before you go. If you have been listening to the show for a while and or you have been getting value from the show, I would be 100% honored if you would share this show with a friend, or maybe share it with somebody that you think could benefit from this. It's my mission. It's my cause. It's my purpose through Flip Empire to impact and touch people's lives and in their businesses. So it would be an honor if you would be willing to share this episode. And one last thing, make sure that you're subscribed so that you get notified every Monday and Thursday when shows get released. I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Until then, have a great day.